Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. My name is Penny Lacaso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel more of it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, you beautiful happiness hackers. Welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. I'm Penny, I'm your host, and I am freaking delighted to have you here for what turns out to be the last episode of the Hacking Happy podcast for the year that is 2023. And I find myself, as I say that, extremely grateful because when I reflect back over the past year and the episodes and the guests and the topics that I have been passionate about, that I've been able to go deep on and share with you, all within the service of helping you on your journey to be more intentional, be more present, igniting that spark within, shining your light brighter, it's just been an absolute joy. And I'm just so grateful to this platform that is the podcast because it's such a beautiful way to connect, to share, and to grow together. Now, it's the end of the year. And what I normally see at the end of the year is people busily planning amongst all the noise that they have in that race to what feels like a finish line of the festive season, starting to plan for the year that's to come. So we're not even out of the year that is. We're often completely loaded up to the eyeballs, and we're also trying to squeeze in planning for the next year. So I'm not here today to tell you that now is the perfect time to add to your never-ending to-do list and to get in all that planning around how you will be an amazing success in every aspect of your life in 2024. Nope. Not doing it because I don't believe it's what you should give your energy to right now. I'm here to give you permission to do, my friend, the complete opposite. And I want to explain why by sharing a poem that I stumbled across on socials this week that I think pretty much sums up why now is not the time to add more to your plate. This poem is probably the best way I could describe what it is by Jeff Foster, who I will pop a link to his Instagram in show notes if you want to go deeper into his work. But I think after hearing the poem, it's likely you might be curious. I thought this was magic. So here it goes. Keep busy. Keep active. Don't stop. Don't rest. Whatever you do, don't just sit there. You have plenty of things to be getting on with. Don't waste time idling. Just do something, anything, anything except being still, anything except encountering yourself. Don't rest. Whatever you do, don't rest. Rest is unproductive. It's basically useless. It's worth nothing at all, nothing. You'll have nothing to show for it. It can't be sold. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't add anything to your life or your resume or your sense of self. Don't sit still. Don't slow down. Don't come to a halt. Just keep going. Even if you're exhausted, keep going. Even if you're sick, fatigued, depressed, burnt out, keep going. Even if you're crawling on your hands and knees, just keep going. Or just look busy. Make a move, any move. But don't just sit there. If you do nothing, you might die. If you relax into the stillness, you might vanish. If you surrender, you might cease to matter at all. If you rest, you may have to face yourself. If you stop running, you may have to feel. In the stillness, the voices may come. The unmet feelings, the memories, the regret, the guilt, the fears, the shame, the unlived life, the failure, or the pull of Eros, or the whispers of the gods. The things you haven't wanted to think about, the undigested things may show themselves in the silence. Without the distractions, you may have to really look. Without the addictions, you may have to finally face what you've been running from. You may have to admit to secrets you've been hiding from. You may have to speak your truth. You may have to learn to love yourself. You may have to forgive. You may have to start to feel your body again. You may have to let go of old dreams. You may have to lose your persona, your mask, your ego. You may have to wake up. You may have to change. On second thoughts, just keep busy. Whew. Wow. Okay, so I share this poem as it's for all of the reasons that it outlines that you should use this podcast as a sign. A sign not to keep filling an already full day, not to spend the festive season doing even more self-development and planning for all your successes in 2024. In this moment, right here, right now, I want to instead invite you to give yourself permission to take time out to rest and reflect, to give yourself space, mental space, physical space to recharge, to be and to celebrate you and all that you have been this year. For without space, beautiful human, there is no room for change. Now is the time to give your body and brain what it is likely yearning for, the space to just be. In a world where productivity has become the disease, rest is perhaps the most undervalued resource you have available to you to realize the woman you want to be. And I'm guessing even thinking about rest is likely to make you feel guilty and perhaps even a little uncomfortable. It's probably an unfamiliar experience for many of you that feels unproductive. You've tried it, but as soon as you try to stop your mind just won't let you. So let's use this podcast episode to go deep into rest and reflection. Not as a panacea to all of your problems, but as a practice to move into a fresh new year, feeling more connected to yourself and to what matters to you. Now, the word rest means to cease from action or work, and naturally, in doing so, feel refreshed. I have shared many times before on socials and here on this very podcast, the conservation of resources theory, which from a psychological perspective highlights why investing in micro moments of rest in each day is so critical to your health, to your happiness, and equally your ability to realize your potential. So indulge me for a moment whilst I recap on this beautiful theory and why it's so important for those who perhaps have not heard it before, my new listeners, and it's perhaps a good one for older listeners to hear again, because God knows we often need a reminder to recharge our batteries. Here's how the conservation of resources theory works. You, my friend, are one human with just 24 hours in the day, like the rest of us. We are all constrained by 24 hours. Now, when you wake at the start of each day, you wake with a set level of mental and physical resources available to you. Think of those resources a little like a mobile phone battery. How you choose to use them throughout the day will determine whether they are depleted or recharged. So whether that little battery light goes down, 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 or whether it's at full charge. When you fully deplete those resources, like on your phone, your body goes into warning mode to let you know that if you don't recharge your battery through a micro moment in the day that is in front of you, not next week, not next month, if you don't recharge, your body gives you a warning light to let you know that it is likely to shut down. But what happens is that many of us have become really damn good at ignoring the warning signals from our body and our brain. And we push on through, only to wake the next day feeling exhausted and wondering why our battery is only on half charge. Quite simply, it's because you didn't charge yourself up yesterday. The more often you avoid these micro moments of recharge that we need, they are a necessity in each day, the more likely you are to fall into a chronic state of stress, both mentally and physically. So now that you understand why rest is so damn important, let's dive into the seven kinds of rest you need and that you can tap into as defined by Psychology Today. Now, don't be overwhelmed by the number of types of rest. Seven may feel like a lot. I want you to look at it as an opportunity to get creative with your rest practice, because rest is a practice. It's like mindfulness. It's like yoga. There's a reason why many of us struggle with it, because we don't practice it enough. So these seven types of rest that we need provide a basis for you to experiment and play with what works for you in your practice over the holiday season. So let me share with you what they are. The first one won't come as any surprise. The first type of rest we need is physical rest. This is the rest from physical activities that fatigue us. Sleep, relaxation, napping all fall under the category of physical rest. However, there is also active physical rest, which can give us what we need in this domain. Things like restorative activities like yoga, stretching, and massages. So that's rest type number one that you need. The second type of rest is mental rest. This is for those of you who feel exhausted no matter how much sleep you've had. Mental rest is about taking your brain offline from the load of everyday life. These micro moments of recharge provide the basis for you to do this. So a couple of simple exercises that I love to share that help us get mental rest. The first one is Martin Seligman's beautiful three good things activity. Now, I like to do this when I get into bed at night as a way to get my brain to disconnect from the day. And it's as simple as I write them down, but writing down three good things that happened in the day and what influence I had on making them happen. Now, this little exercise, Martin Seligman, for those of you who don't know, is the forefather of positive psychology. This little exercise is empirically proven to make you happier for up to 6 months if you practice it for a minimum of a week. So hugely powerful in giving you that mental rest and also helping you step into the practice of gratitude.
Hey there, thought I would just press pause for a moment and ask you. Do you lay in bed at night wondering, is this it? How much is enough? And what the hell am I walking into tomorrow? Do you then wake exhausted, no matter how much sleep you've had? Do you feel like you're operating in robot mode, like nobody's getting the best of you? And perhaps you keep telling yourself, when it's all done, then I'll make time for me. But the reality is, it's never all done, and all you keep doing is moving yourself and your dreams to the bottom of your to-do list. Perhaps you long to feel more present with the people that you love, more connected to meaningful work, and just a little more calm in each day. If this sounds like you, I want you to imagine. Imagine how it would feel to bounce out of bed with the clarity, the courage, and the confidence to live each day in alignment with the life that you've longed for. If you're ready to shift from existing to living, reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel it towards injecting more joy, presence, and meaning into each day, Flourish Forward Coaching was created for you. Go to flourishforwardcoaching.com and book a free clarity call with me today. Now back to the podcast.
Now, the other little practice that's great for mental rest is a practice called thought diffusion. Let me say that again, thought diffusion, which is the practice of watching your thoughts float by like clouds and giving yourself permission to not be attached to the thought emotionally, to actually allow yourself to remove yourself from being emotionally connected to the thought. And just like you would hear this often in a yoga class or a meditation, they'll sort of say, you know, just watch your thoughts float by like clouds, watch them move. Because that's what thoughts do. They move. We process them and new thoughts come. Third type of rest that we need is sensory rest. In a world where your attention is the most highly valued commodity, is it any wonder so many of us feel hyper-stimulated, like our sensory system never gets a chance to rest? And I always love a great example of this is that the Netflix CEO once shared that sleep was Netflix's biggest competitor. I mean, that just shows you how much you are up against this sensory overload experience. So sensory rest is intentionally disconnecting from overstimulation. Simple things like avoiding screens for an hour before bed, or I often turn my phone off for a block of time during the day, a beautiful way to just allow your sensory system to reset. Number four, emotional rest. This is an interesting one, right? This is the rest from suppressing uncomfortable emotions and instead speaking your truth and sharing how you are really feeling and why. This release supports our emotional circuitry to feel more rested. Equally, surrounding yourself with people who provide a safe space for you to share how you are really feeling provides the same benefit. Rest number five that we need is social rest. This is about attunement to your, what we call social battery. Knowing whether you're an introvert or an extrovert is extremely helpful in regulating the amount of time you spend with others, because you understand whether human connection recharges your batteries or depletes them and how much you can have before you need to step out and recharge, right? It's also a great conversation to have with your partner if you attend things together, as you might be different like me and my partner. I am deeply extroverted. He is deeply introverted. So the amount of time we might want to spend at an event with a lot of people there where there's a lot of social interaction could be completely different, which is why having this conversation and understanding each other's social battery is extremely helpful in enabling it to recharge. Number six. Oh, I love this one. Creative rest. Who would have thought that was even a thing, right? Creative rest. This is one of my faves, as I love to be creative in my work. But what I know is that it can't be forced. Creativity is not a forced process. You can't sit there and go, right, I've got an hour, I'm going to be creative. It's not how creativity forms. And I have found it is often when I step away from a creative process that my ideas start to flow. Creative rest is about doing exactly that, stepping away from the expectation of being creative and instead placing yourself in an environment like nature where you can just allow yourself to be without any pressure of expectation of having to arrive at a place or come up with anything. But often you get what you need anyway. And then the last type of rest is spiritual rest. Now, I find the older I get, the more curious I become about spirituality and the many forms it takes for the diverse myriad of humans that we have in this world. Spiritual rest means connecting on a deeper level with something that is greater than ourselves. This can mean adding prayer, if that's your thing. For me, it's meditation or adding purpose to our lives, like exploring more around what gives you meaning. One of the ways I'm doing this at the moment is connecting with tribal communities that are connected to the lands on which I live upon and seeking opportunities to sit in ceremony with them to better understand their spiritual ways. I'm extremely open to the diversity of spirituality in terms of exploring what it looks like for me, because there's no fixed or hard and fast way that this needs to look for you. So there you have it, seven different ways you can creatively explore how you rest and recharge over the festive season. So what I want to do now is jump into reflection and the beautiful opportunity it provides to create the space to celebrate you and lay the foundations for a more intentional, present, and meaningful 2024 without any expectation of creating a plan this year. Because we want you to have the space to rest and reflect, right? Without the expectation. We can plan next year. There's plenty of time. There's 12 months in next year. You've got loads of time. Now is your chance to recharge, to restore, and to just reflect. And that's what I want to help you to do. Okay, I have to be honest. I absolutely freaking love reflection. It is perhaps one of the most powerful practices I have cultivated in illuminating the path back to my essence, back to the woman I was born to be. I'll explain more around that in the new year and where I'm going with it. The more I step into the work that I'm doing, the more I learn about myself, the more I realize we're not here to fix, we're not here to change. What many of us need is to actually return to the person that we were born to be, to this essence that was always in us, this beautiful light that these layers of societal expectation, of our own expectations, have dimmed over time. And so what my work is all about doing for myself and others is peeling back these layers of expectation, of shoulds, so that the light can shine brighter and you can actually return to the woman that you were born to be. So reflection is about creating the space to look back on the actions we took, the behaviours we displayed, the impact we had, the experiences we shared, and consciously consider what worked, what didn't, and what we would like to do differently in the year ahead. As a little end-of-year gift, I'm going to share with you the beautiful tool I use to reflect at the end of each year. Now, I'm going to drop a link in show notes so that you can download the template for free for yourself, or you could create your own version. But downloading the template makes it so much simpler and helps you create the space for reflection before you even think about giving energy to planning your 2024, which I'm strongly advocating, if you haven't heard me already, that you don't do that this year. Park it. Enjoy yourself. Okay. So the tool I want to share with you is called Love, Long, Loathe, Let Go, and Lean In. Here's how it works. Grab your favorite drink. Yeah. Sit down in your favorite reflective spot. Often for me, I sit at the park and do this, or somewhere where I'm connected with nature. There is something about nature that just brings out the best in me as a human. Once you've done that, grab the tool, the download tool via the link in show notes, or you can just have a piece of paper and put five columns on that piece of paper, and at the top of the columns, put one of the following headings. The first column has love, long, loathe, lean in, and let go. So once you've got your little template, you start in the love column. And what you do is you just look back over the year that was and write down all the things that you loved in 2023. What were the things that brought you joy? Now, don't just look at it in a work or a business context. Look at it in the context of your whole life. So for me, when I do this, when I recently did this, here's some of the things that I love doing this year. Weight training, running my first retreat, bringing creative campaigns, marketing campaigns to life to shift my clients, running group coaching programs and coaching individuals, being with my boys, hiking and camping, finishing my psych studies, exploring myself and my trauma through my compassionate inquiry studies with Dr. Gabor Maté, podcasting, reflecting, writing and sharing it, cooking. I love to cook. You may not know that about me. And then going on Burley workations, which is something I love to do. My dad and my brother live up in Burley Heads and I try and spend as much time by the ocean as I can, and I go up there and I work. I do yoga, I ride the bike, and I walk around the rainforest every morning. These are the things that I loved in 2023. So once you put your love list, the next list you move on to is long. What are the things you have longed to do but you're yet to step into? Longing is a beautiful thing, right? Because longing is about something that is meaningful to us. It's obviously important, but equally what's interesting is there is a reason why we haven't stepped into that longing. And what I often find is it's fear. Fear holds us back from stepping into longing. So it's a really good thing to just note down what you long for. So for me, some of the things I long for that I haven't done yet, and there's always a list, right? We're all on the journey. I long to buy a house by the water. I long to finish my psych studies and become a fully qualified psych and trauma therapist. I long to write my second book. I long to travel around Australia in a four-wheel drive and a camper with my boyfriend. They're just a couple of things that I long for. So what do you long for? And then your third column is what do you loathe? What are the things that you really loathe this year? So for me, one of the things I don't love is working alone, which is why I love running workshops, group coaching programs, and working with clients, because I do spend a bit of time on my own creating, writing, etc., which is nice, but I don't love being on my own all the time. And I also loathe not feeling great in my body, but I've made some significant shifts around that this year, which has been amazing. Okay, then your fourth column is lean in. What do you want to lean into more of in 2024? I mean, you can see how this is starting to take shape, right? You've got clarity on what you love doing. You've got clarity on what you long to do, some of the big things that you'd love to tick off. You know what you loathe. So what do you want to lean into more of based on that knowledge in 2024? So for me, I want to speak more to women to help them reignite their spark. I want to gain broader reach through podcast collaborations with other like minds. I want to use my studies to scale my business and my impact and write my next book. And I want to play more with online advertising. It's not something I've done a lot of. So these are just some of the things that I want to lean into. And then your last column is let go. So this is really strongly connected to the loathe column, if you haven't worked that out. What are some of the things that you want to let go of in 2024, things that are not serving you? So one of the things I want to let go of is attachment, and I've been playing a lot with this year, this idea of non-attachment. I want to let go of the things that I cannot control and not give them the energy or the space. I want to not be attached to an outcome being a certain or specific way and just be open to the possibility, to the unfolding of what not being attached can bring. So there you have it. That is the simple tool. Love, long, loathe, lean in, let go. Jump in the show notes to download your little template to have a play with. When you're done, have a look over it. Sometimes what I like to do is just highlight a couple of keywords in each column, and then I leave it. So I'll now leave this list until I come back to work in 2024. And I will use this reflection process as a basis to start my planning once I'm rested and recharged. So I call this the marinade, right? There is a lot to be said about ideating and then walking away and coming back with a fresh set of eyes. You'll be surprised. You might add to the list. There might be other things that came up, because once you've had time to rest, you can really start to sit with things and allow them to just grow in the space that you've created rather than overthinking them. I am going to just take a deep breath here because I know this is a lot, but I'm sure you've gotten my point. My experience tells me that now is the time to give back to you, beautiful human. You've had a massive year. Take the rest that you need. Take the time to reflect before you race into what will be another year of you. Okay, I truly hope this podcast has inspired you to give yourself the time you so damn deserve to rest and reflect as we come to the end of another year. Now, before I sign off with you for 2023, I want to share how grateful I am to you. To you for inviting me into your ears, for inviting me into your journey, for allowing me to share with you the work that I love to do. I want to say a massive thank you for trusting me. But most importantly, I want to thank you for showing up for you in the service of being the woman, the amazing woman that you were born to be. I cannot wait to journey with you into 2024. A massive thank you from the bottom of my heart. May you stay safe and have a restful holiday season. Big love. I'll see you in 2024.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans just like you to lead wholehearted and flourishing lives. If you enjoyed your listen, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something that resonated from this conversation, I invite you to take a screenshot and share your thoughts on social media. Tag me in so I can respond. If you've got a friend you feel needs to hear this episode, copy and paste the link and drop them a message now. It might be exactly what they need. Until next time, happiness looks good on you.